I'll give you a wee bit of extra time there to catch up with yourselves and tell your Christmas stories and so forth. So, have we any apologies for this evening?
Councillor Byrne.
Councillor Hart, Councillor Byrne. Anyone else? Councillor Highland. And Councillor Burgess, I should have one earlier. Right, so that everything? Okay. So, folks, we had a good December. First of all, I'd like to offer congratulations to our very own Colin Moffat on his receiving his BEM, and also to Roberta Brownlee, chairperson of the trust, on receiving her award as well. We rolled out our sustainable Christmas trees across the district as a pilot project, and whilst we maybe had a couple of initial hiccups, I think they were all very well received, and it's something that the young people, particularly the children, can be part of, and we've encouraged them. I know some of the other councillors encouraged them as well, myself and doing the switch-ons, that the children would get their photographs taken with the trees and keep that as a record of the tree grew and as they grew as well. Myself and Roland attended a conference in Italy on the circular economy, and we were very well received for our contributions, and everyone was delighted with how the district looked and what we were doing in the early stages of working to a circular economy and reusing our waste. And I think even from today's session this afternoon, that showed our commitment to that. We also had two Chinese delegations following on from our successful trip to China in October. We had the Department of Foreign Affairs, so it was the Director General, which is a very high level delegation that came and met with myself and a group of councillors in the chamber. And also then we had a group of Chinese students which came, and they went to visit the hospital in St. Norbrook. So you know, this is part of the continuation of our work in building relationships with China going forward. And then we also had an indoor bowling tournament, which we brought teams from across the UK and Ireland together in Ballyholland. Again, making use of that excellent facility we have up there. And they had the benefit of myself and Oksana visiting them over that tournament. So it's nice to see that we had a peaceful Christmas across the district. Christmas can be a time that can bring tragedy to our area, but unfortunately we haven't had any of that in our roads this year. Okay, so we'll move on to our meeting. So any declarations of interest? No. Sorry, Councillor Tenley.
Chairman, just before you move on there, you mentioned that thankfully we had no road fatalities.
Mm.
But I'm sure you're well aware, Chairman, we had a spate of poor unfortunate people taking their own lives over the period. Now, I don't have any statistics, but I've heard from multiple sources that in our district over the Christmas period, the number of people who took their own lives was in double figures. So it's an absolutely shocking outcome for those poor unfortunate people, but also for their families. And I think, you know, we should acknowledge that. And I would like maybe for you even to lead the charge here and put it out there that we as a public authority would like to request that anybody that is in need of help, that they get that help. And their families look out for them and their work colleagues look out for them. Because whilst it is primarily a joyous time of the year, Christmas, it can be an absolute horrible time for a lot of people, and those poorer people will never see another Christmas. So I just wanted to get that in there, Chairman. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, Councillor Tenley. I wasn't aware that we were going into double figures. I'm sure, and I know there was a couple that I'm aware of.
Chair, I don't want to open up for discussion too much, but just on the back of what Councillor Tenley said, Pips Downpatrick are hosting a session on Thursday night for those that have been affected by the two suicides in Downpatrick, especially young Aaron Laverty, who was 15 years of age, sadly, took his life. And it, with the press here, Chair, if you indulge me, if they wouldn't mind circulating that message in their papers this week, that there is support out there and there is sessions being held by organisations to help those that do need help or just need to have a conversation to get the stresses off. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I think it's very important that we do get suicide down to zero in our district, and we should need to look at policies around that. Okay, so is there any declarations of interest? No? So we'll move on to the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 3rd of December 2018.
Yeah, Chairman, only action I want to refer to is the notice of motion regarding the housing conference. Again, I've only tied this down this evening, actually, in the last hour or so, but I have now got confirmation from the Chief Executive of the Housing Executive and the Deputy Secretary of the Department for Communities to speak at a conference. We are now looking at, just for members' diaries, at the 25th of February, morning time on the 25th of February. I'm proposing, Chairman, I'm working with Alex to bring together an agenda for the session to bring it to... I'm suggesting party reps for them to give us some impact onto it. And again, I know Councillor Savage have proposed the motion, maybe come along for that item to it, so we could get some feedback into the invitation list and for the agenda onto it. But again, just to say that, you know, we've got confirmation of the speakers, and we've now tied down that date for that particular purpose, because to get the speakers, we need to give them a firm date.
Yeah, okay. Councillor Savage.
Chair, I was just to see the Chief Executive. You know, there have been expressions of interest from those different levels within the local housing executive, wanting to maybe feed into the structure of that day. I was wondering if there's any way that any of our team could sort of liaise with them in relation to the structure of it. A number of people actually had approached me over Christmas and said that some of the attributes and elements of what they were doing on a day-to-day basis, they would want that fed through in some way, that those issues would be addressed. These are the people dealing with this issue at the coalface, and they deal with very difficult issues on a day-to-day basis, given the lack of housing that we have in our city and our district. And I think their views should be brought into play, and that, you know, maybe it's an opportunity for the department that oversees the housing executive to hear it firsthand how difficult life is for their own staff. And trying to deliver housing need, meet the housing need in Uri when there's a struggle every day. I dealt with a young woman today with a young child who came in to me in tears because she cannot get a house. And that's it becoming a daily occurrence in our city. And we've got to take this seriously. And I welcome the work that's been done so far, ma'am. And I'm looking forward to the conference that we can actually come up with solutions that make a real difference. Thanks, Chair.
No, different items.
Just maybe to respond to Michael, you know, again, I'm conscious I don't want to interfere in the management of the housing executive, but again, we're looking at workshops in the second part after speak, and actually to dealing with some of the themes we're looking at about tackling homelessness, issues of special needs and stuff like that there. So hopefully we can get that. And again, we would see the local staff being involved in facilitating them workshops to try and do that. So yeah, but again, it's not up for me to tell if you understand that. Yeah.
Councillor Jordan.
Thank you, Chair. It's just in reference to the minutes of AHC and to do with the handball and squash provision.
So the action sheet, is that on
it? It is on the action sheet, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if we have anything further. I know we received a verbal update at AHC. If we've anything further at this time of where we're at.
I'm just looking over Dreamy here, and she's shaking her head. So we have got nothing back. Conscious that probably AHC was the week before we finished off, yeah. And we've been in the holiday period, so it's unlikely we've got anything. But we'd like to bring an update back to the AHC meeting this month on, so you know.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other matters arising from the action sheet? No. Okay, we'll move on to the minutes of the council meeting held on the 3rd of December. I get for accuracy, so page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, I'm going to get a proposer. Councillor Craig and Councillor McMahon. Any matters arising? Then we'll move on then to the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 26th of November. Again, for accuracy, page 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Councillor Hannah and Councillor Jarvan, any matters arising? Move on to item number 6, the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee held on the 10th of December. Again, for accuracy, so page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Any proposer and seconder for those? Councillor Harvey and Councillor McAteer. Any matters arising?
Yes, Chair.
Councillor Harvey?
I'd just like to say, Chair, on the tourism events, Newry Rainbow Committee are talking about hosting the UK and Ireland Pride. Just like to say, I'd be against the recommendations of spending $60,000 over a few days in one area for a small percentage of our population. I think it's unfair, to say the least. Not only the money, but committing our officers and the ratepayers are having to pay for this. I just think it's an awful lot of money to be spent in one area and should be more equally divided. Thank you, Chair.
That's just a comment. Yep. Any other matters? Sorry, Councillor McGree.
Well, I actually, again, would just like to publicly say how much we would be supporting that event. I think it's a fantastic opportunity for us as a council to build on our already impressive tourism events. And it will certainly be attracting people from without this island and beyond. And I think we will get great value for money. And it's something that, you know, this council should be very proud to support. And I wish them every best wishes and good luck with it, because I would say they're going to rock Newry City. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Stokes?
Yeah, Chair, I find myself in complete agreement with Councillor McGrew, and I'm conscious of my colleague Pete Byrne, our colleague's not here this evening, so far be it for me to speak for him, but I would challenge the idea, we're fully supportive of this, Chair, I think the majority of council are. And I would challenge the idea that it's for a minority. I think it's for this is for everyone, sir. Everyone. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And Councillor McAteer.
Yeah. Again, just to back the proposal for the international Gay Pride Festival in Newry. I mean, the history of this is that there was an underspend of $60,000 previously that was going to go to the Red Bull. The car event, Newry, which is also a minority event, and that was agreed to with no issue at all. So it's rather strange that some minority events are slightly bigger minority than others, getting adrift. So yeah. Again, it's a lot of hypocrisy going on around the chamber at the moment, unfortunately. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Okay. No other matters arising. Now we'll move on to item 7, the minutes of the SPNR committee held on the 13th of December. Again, for accuracy, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Do we need to do the first proposal?
No, we're going to take a proposal.
Take a proposer.
Chairman, just a
sorry, where's the seconder?
Chair, just note the accuracy, Chair.
I need a seconder first.
No, the accuracy wants to change the accuracy.
Councillor Murray. Councillor McMurray.
Yes, right. No, I was in attendance. Chair, I was not recorded to be in attendance, so just a small matter, but it'd be nice to be taken note of. Thank you.
Apologies, we'll get that amended, Chairman.
Okay. Any matters arising?
Chairman, we'd seek to go into committee in relation to SPNR 1767 2018 and some other items we want to make outside committee first. Yeah.
Councillor McGree.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just wanted to actually ask officials a couple of questions about this additional £12,500 which is going to be set aside for minority communities. And it has left me feeling a little bit confused about how the council actually operates. My understanding of it was that every group within our society and our community is entitled to apply for council funding, and that every application is treated exactly the same. Is that not the case? Is that not what we have been doing? Have we actually been discriminating against certain people? Perhaps some of the officials could address that for me.
Councillor Mulgrew, I have got no awareness of any active discrimination in any of our financial assistance calls against any group or any individuals, no.
So, again, I'm sort of confused. If there hasn't been active discrimination, why there would need to be separate money set aside, and also, you know, the breakdown of this money. You know, if we're now going to, you know, set aside separate pots for separate communities because other people not going to feel, well, what has happened to us? Maybe we should be coming looking for a separate pot of money. Our protection as a council was that our officers did a first-class job. My understanding of it was that was certainly what we always were led to believe in, making sure that every single person was treated as an equal within this council and within our district. So my fear is, the message here is that we are now saying, well, actually, we're not treating you as equals. Are we treating people as equals or not? Because this is very clearly sending a message that we haven't, and that is something that I would have great, great concern about, because my understanding of it is, and whenever we represent communities, because we all have members of our communities that have been unsuccessful with funding pots, and we have had the protection of councillors of being able to stand up and say that every group and every organisation has been treated equally. Are we now turning that on our head? Are we? Are we turning it on its head?
Councillor Mulgrew, if I can give you the background to where this came from. It's not within your papers, but it's in the paper that went to the FCNR committee. There was a notice of motion passed by council on the 5th of June 2018, where council acknowledged the need to ensure that all minority communities in the district, including the unionist community, feel their culture, tradition and identity was fully respected and celebrated, and that a fair share of funding was allocated to support all cultural expressions across the district. It was also agreed that council use the Good Relations Forum to address concerns of minority communities and report back to council with recommendations for the need to enhance opportunities. So following on from that, this matter was referred to the Equality and Good Relations Reference Group, and following a meeting of that group, two meetings of that group in October and indeed in November, officers were asked to bring an options paper on a minority communities of financial assistance programme. That was discussed by the group, and the group then recommended that £12,500 be allocated to a specific scheme designated £10,000 for Protestant Unionist Loyalist Community Projects Initiative and £2,500 for Black Minority and Ethnic Community Projects. So that's how it came about.
Councillor Moran.
Yeah, thanks, sir. Just to go back 2 years, whenever the Irish language strategy was agreed in the council and we looked at a bit of budget for it and we talked about setting money aside for it and that, there was elements within the chamber here said that there should be no money spent on the Irish language, that on the direction that the Irish language strategy was pushed in was that we should go for an Irish language strategy working group, a cross-party one, which we did. And we sat in that committee for a year and a half, and we liaised with every other council. We looked at how every other council brought about a strategy for the Irish language, about a fair and transparent way to use public money to promote an Irish language strategy. We worked well, the parties that sat on it. We tried to encourage all the other parties who didn't sit on it to come on board, that it could be agreed among everyone. And then at the end of the process, we came in front of the full council and we gave a report on everything that had been worked on and what we had found out from all the other councils, and we arrived at a figure that was very easy to work out how it was going to be apply for, how it was going to be fund, who it was going to fund, why it was necessary, what, you know. This here looks like it was just, if we had went down that this road with the Irish language, we could have just come in and said, here's a figure, we'll just pluck a figure out and we'll just put it here for the Irish language. We'll not explore it, we'll not go into anything else. You said yourself, there's no evidence of discrimination within this council, and as long as I'm sitting on it, I haven't seen any evidence of discrimination within the council. This is discriminatory, without a shadow of a doubt. This is what could be reckoned as affirmative discrimination. We are discriminating in favour of a community. We are saying there's a community who feel that they're not being represented in terms of funding, and we'll affirmatively discriminate in their favour. So we'll make money available exclusively for them. There are other, as Roisin alluded to, there are other Section 75 groups who won't be able to apply for this. It's exclusive to two communities. And that's, I think it's a very dangerous path that we're going down. If it was good enough for the Irish language strategy to be pushed into, or kicked into, or whatever it was, into a working group for a year and a half to come up with something to sell to this council, why does another stream not go down the same path and work it out with other councils the same way as we did?
Thank you, Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, Chair, it was about the report on the illicit dumping. And I just apologize if I couldn't make today's special meeting on recycling.
Can we stick to the same?
All right, sorry, just thought you were taking it as the same.
Is there other people want to speak on that other end? Councillor Kevin, do you mind giving way? Councillor Kevin.
Yeah, Chair. No, I just wanted to query how the breakdown was. You know, have we spoken to the BMI community? It's not very clear how we came to the conclusion of what, you know, how we allocate 10 grand to one group, 2.5 to another. And again, we talked earlier on about the Newry Rainbow community and different groups like that as well, who, you know, are all fall under the same umbrella of Section 75 groups, who could very rightly so come out here and say, hang on a wee second, we don't exclusively have a stream where we fall under, you know. So it's just to try and get a bit more information out to make sure that we've done that properly.
Do you want to take some more points or go into that? Yeah. Councillor Stokes?
Yeah, I suppose, Chair, I'm concerned where this is going. I think there must be an election coming up. We're sort of getting it falling into the tribal groupings. Under Section 75 of the 1999 Northern Ireland Act, yes, we have a duty under equality. We also have a duty to promote good relations, Chair. And anyone with a, you know, if you look at the history of the state of Northern Ireland, one thing it tells you, you know, cherish your minority and you'll promote good relations. So I think certainly our party will be supporting the recommendation before us on that basis, that we cherish the minorities within our district and promote good relations. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm happy to support this as well. I mean, it has been worked through the Equality Good Relations Committee. Unfortunately, the last meeting where a lot of it was discussed, there was no Sinn Féin reps there, so I mean, that was unfortunate. And it was through that the Unionist Bloc really did articulate what they wanted and how they saw it working, and you know, it sort of cleared up a lot of things. I had initial reservations too. Regarding it, and as long, you know, the alliance, as long as it's transparent and the procedure is transparent, which it is, then we're happy. And I suppose really, I mean, without wanting to paraphrase, he should not have leisure centres named after him. You know, I mean, these guys, I mean, it's about building structures that support people. And I mean, if they can speak to the red, white, and blue in the face, it's all good. But I don't want to cast shadows. So I think it's about how we support. How we build structures rather than casting shadows over each other. So I'm very happy to support and see it going forward. Thank you.
Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And it's just all the discussion on funding. I just want to raise the issue that the two wards that myself and Councillor Balamori represent, Craigan and Cross Midland, is the two highest wards of deprivation in the north of Ireland. And over the last year, to try and improve that, we made applications, the different groups in that area made applications to this council. Out of six applications, one was successful. Should there not be, it's an indictment of this council that we have two wards that is the highest deprivation in their area. And I don't believe that this council is doing enough to help us out of that. I don't think they're doing enough. But let's set a pot of money for areas like that to help and improve them and change the image of this council. And let's do a wee bit more for areas like that need that bit of help and that bit of a lift. And I would have concerns about the funding when we're turning our back and ignoring the fact that we have two wards like this in our own area, and when they make applications of funding, as I say, one out of six. Like, let's take a look at that. Let's look at the whole lot and take a look at that. And let's do something to try and to improve them two wards and take us out of that.
Who's still on the same item? Emery?
Yes, Chairman.
Chairman,
I was at that quality and good relations group meeting, and this was really well discussed. And it was discussed in such a positive and constructive fashion that we came to that recommendation. And Glenn and I were the two unionist reps here, from what I can remember. But I said to Glenn on the way out, there's the SDLP, and what they are prepared to do today will radically help good relations in this council. And a minority group within this council, they feel that they are part of it. And I said to myself, if we can work issues like that out, it's good for us all. It's good for everybody. And it wasn't brought about through sectarianism or discrimination or anything. It was brought about through genuine need. And I'm grateful to the council that it got this far, and I hope it does pass tonight. There's no threat to anyone in it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Savage?
Yes, sir. It was just really on the point about, on one hand, we have this great record about lack of discrimination in our own council and the great equality team we have. It was our equality team brought the proposals to us that people are praising on one hand and then criticising what they brought to us. This was discussed at length. It was discussed in good faith, and it was based on a full-blown proposal that was put in front of the council here and supported. And this council passed it. We acted on it. And there were discussions with members of all parties at it in the lead-up to all bar the last meeting. So for people to say that they weren't bought into it, that they didn't engage in it, that they didn't see the need to try and address the concerns of unionist and ethnic minority communities in the district, I think it's been a bit disingenuous to say the least. I think our quality staff put together a very extensive paper, brought it to us, and we discussed it at length and discussed it in a positive way and embraced the spirit of what was put in front of us. And I think what came out of it at the end of the day was some way to try and enhance good relations in the council. Because the Ireland, I believe in, respects the identities of everybody in the Ireland, not just one or two.
Thanks, Chair. Thank you. Are you looking on the same item? Dagwan, sorry, can you turn that up?
Yeah, Chair. I've heard Andy speak in terms of the proposals that were put down, and I've heard another councillor now also say the same. Well, if there was a substantial paper put together from council that was shown to the meeting and it was these discussions that took place, well, show us it. You know, we come up with a figure of 10,000, we come up with a figure of 2,500. Show us how we got to that. Show us what the 10,000 is for. Show us what the 2,500 is for. How did we get to them two figures? What are them two figures specifically for? Because I do know I attended the first meeting of it, and the only conversation that was had and the only argument that was made by Councillor Walker, who said that Orange Parades and Orange Bands had made applications for funding in our council and had failed. And that was the only basis for this argument at the start. It was simply down to that there. And what was said to Councillor Walker at the time is that those groups who failed in that there, I'm sure if they go and speak with the officers involved, they will be more than happy to sit down with them. And the next time they apply through our normal funding process, they would be successful. This has nothing got to do whether it's PUL or the BME communities. the BME community seems to have been just thrown in as a last ditch to try to get this through the council without any argument or without any debate. But it's not transparent. We hear them all going on about transparency here. There's no transparency in this at all. We do not know what that 10,000 is for. We do not know what the 2,500 for. And the question was asked earlier on, was the BME community consulted in relation to this? Why did we put a figure of £2,500 down for them? What's the £2,500 for? What is their needs? What do they request? We don't even know that. So for to sit here and try to tell us that this is a transparent process and all that comes with it is absolute nonsense.
Thank you. Liam and I actually met with a representative of the BME community this morning, so we are aware of what the needs are.
Do you want to
for the district, yes. We're going to discuss that afterwards.
Well, I think we need to talk about it. In relation to the state of the future, you also need to tell me what that would be.
We're making the point that there were no discussions with the BME community. I'm just hoping we had discussions with them. We can discuss that afterwards, their particular needs. Today, yes. Yes. Councillor Taylor, the same item.
Yep, thank you, Chair. Chair, this should be recognised as a positive, you know, positive step by the Council. I think it's clear that, you know, this matter has been discussed for a number of years now, actually, at the Good Relations meetings that take place. Now, whilst I wasn't at the meeting that day where this specific proposal was discussed, it was discussed at committee where party colleagues were present. It's clear that we have been trying to find some sort of way of recognising that there is cultural aspects in the TUEL community that the Council should be recognising. We had a discussion about this several months ago where we tried to articulate where there was concerns about a lack of perceived support from the Council on issues like this one. Could we find a way where we could bring a positive resolution to this? And in my opinion, and it is a small amount of money, 10,000, let's be honest, is a drop in the ocean. You know, it's a very small amount of money in the bigger scale of things when you consider the amount of money that's spent by Council on other projects. And to try and prevent the PAL community from being offered that type of money, I ask the Sinn Féin representatives what the real issue is. Be honest about it. What's your real problem with this? Well, what's your real problem? I suppose it's not, don't hide behind what's not been scrutinised properly. Any application that's brought forward to this Council under this project will be fully transparent, will be dealt with in the same manner that any other application will be for financial assistance. But it'll be fully transparent. I have no doubt that the Council officials will deal with this. This will be transparent. This will be dealt with. Mickey, I let you speak, so you let me speak. But I haven't finished speaking. Sorry, Chair, but I want you to be honest about this, what the real issue is. The fact is, you do want to discriminate against us because of this. I can't see any other reason why, but you need to answer that question to me. I can't see any other reason why you would want to refuse the PUL community from getting this type of money, because it's a small amount of money. It's £10,000. In the bigger scale of things, it'll not add up to much, but it's a small recognition and it's a positive step by the Council. And please recognise it as that, rather than trying to deny that type of fund. That's all I ask.
Bring Councillor Walker in first. The pressure of the Council.
Councillor Walker. Chair, thank you very much. And I actually think this is a sad night. We're getting into this debate. Councillor Taylor is right. This should be a good, positive news story in relation to good community relations. If you remember, the motion was brought forward by my colleague, Councillor Hannah, in relation to it. And I have to commend the SDLP. They brought an amendment to it. I think it was Councillor Savage that had brought the amendment to it. So they did. We accepted it. The vote was cast in support of the motion. So council officers were then told, well, we're told it would be brought to the Good Relations Forum where council officers would work on it. They have worked on it, so they have, and they have come up with this. And Councillor Taylor's right. There's a more sinister element to this, and it is sectarianism. So it is. It is sectarianism, because I think Sinn Féin tonight has proved beyond all doubt
that if you're a unionist in this district, you'll get nothing. You'll get absolutely nothing. Now, I would appeal for them to pull back and support this. So I would. And if they had supported it tonight, I think that would have been a good news story for this district, that unionists and the PUL community is been recognised. Is been recognised. You know, pots and streams of fountain have went the other things, and it hasn't. I'm not going to get into it, but you know, such as Irish language bursaries and that there, and other things. You know, when we were getting nothing, but I think, you know, Sinn Féin's wrong in opposing this. A good news story has turned into political football.
Councillor Rowan.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Sinn Féin don't have a funding pot within this council, never have and never will have. The council has a funding pot which every group outside there depend on, regardless of their political, their religious affiliations or none, they can apply to and get whatever funding for whatever event they're holding or wish to hold. That is a given. And just to David, I have no problem with the PUL community getting funding from this council, none whatsoever. And we are not opposing them getting any funding, but what we are opposed to is the way that this has been put through this council. And all we were going to ask for tonight was that this was deferred. And based on what Councillor O'Murray had said earlier on, and what the Irish language group had to go through and had to sit down, form a committee, and come back with proposals to this council. This is what needs to happen with this. Not to be pushed in through the good relations forum, which it was never set up and to do the like of that. It's not a decision-making body even. So we have no issues whatsoever with any group in this council area receiving funds from this council. But this is not the way to go about it, and it never will be the way to go about it.
Are you making a proposal there, Councillor?
Well, I propose that we defer this decision until a group is set up to look at this properly. Because there's been questions asked from Councillor Cummins and other that haven't been answered yet in relation to how they come to about this £10,000, this £2,500. And I think I've touched on that myself. We have no information. We've heard of papers. We've heard of discussions that took place. But there's no councillor can actually put that paper in front of anybody here tonight as to how they come to that argument that we could sit here tonight and propose to give £10,000 and £2,000 for something that we have no knowledge of.
Okay, do you have a second with that? Councillor Hardy, second. Councillor McMahon.
And I just want to agree with my party members as well. As a member of an ethnic minority, I just want to know how the council officials actually came up with the idea of £2,000 and have ethnic minorities have actually been approached, because I am working myself with a lot of ethnic minority groups and I don't think their needs and demands have been met by this £2,000. I think it's we don't know what it's for and how it was decided to that this sum of money is going to be allocated for this purpose of BME communities. Thank you.
Councillor Emily, the same subject?
Yes, Chairperson. I'd like to propose an amendment on this subject because I'm concerned that we're using the letters P-U-L. Personally, I have many friends who are Protestants and who have a Republican or nationalist, Irish nationalist outlook in life. And equally, I know quite a lot of Catholics who have a unionist disposition. I'm absolutely certain that going back 4 years, we made a principal decision in council that we would not affiliate religion to national outlook. So I would suggest to you we need to amend these three letters to be something more reflective of council policy. I think unionist and loyalist would be acceptable. But to tag on Protestant to unionist and loyalist is an insult to both sides of the community, because it implies that the divisions on this island are something to do with religion and not to do with national identity. So I would suggest that we amend this in line with council policy and change P-U-L to UL. Thank you.
SPNR. Councillor Savage, sorry, just a point of information. I think everybody's forgetting that this went to the SPNR committee. It was on the back of going and proposed and seconded and voted on through full council. Went to the SPNR committee and is now in front of the full council. We've gone through normal procedures in relation to a very small spend in relation to recognising something that we've acknowledged in all parties within the Good Relations Forum over the last number of months. And Chair, I think this has just been turned into political football, and I think people need to see the spirit behind which this was agreed on. And if they had been part, if they had came along that night, there's as many councillors in Sinn Féin as there are in our party in this chamber, and if one or two of them had come along that night, they'd have been fully briefed and could have took part and expressed their concerns then and there, but they didn't. And that's the reality, Chair. I'm just sticking with the facts.
I'm going to bring Doreen in. Is there the meeting or not? The meeting mix up. That's okay. Doreen, would you like to come back and answer some of those questions?
Thank you, Chair. There are a number of points I raised, councillors. I'll answer them as best I can. In relation to whether there was any formal engagement with the BME community prior to the options paper being brought, I'm not aware of any formal engagement with the community prior to that options paper coming forward. There were comments made around Section 75 concerns. I would just like to point out, councillors, that the paper that went to the SPNR committee was equality screened, and the results of that equality screening are in the paper that went to the SPNR committee. With regard to concerns around engagement in particular wards in the area, we have, through the Active and Healthy Directorate, carried out a lot of engagement work with communities around how to apply for our financial assistance. So those specific wards I pick up separately with the AHC community, and we'll see if we can do additional work there. We do know that in overall terms that work's been very effective. We've seen a massive increase in the amount of applications for our financial assistance schemes as a result of it. But taking on board your points, Councillor Hardy, we'll look at those two wards and whether we need to do more work. With regard to the point around the options paper that went to the Good Relations Forum, an options paper was brought by officers that, as requested, that was around the options around a funding programme for minority groups. The paper was concentrating on the programme itself and how that would operate. It was at the actual Good Relations Forum meeting of November that the specific sums were then discussed, and those specific sums were then brought forward to the SPNR committee in the paper that went before those. The breakdown being, I think as I said before, 10,000 for PUL, 2,500 for BME, and to be administered as part of two themes, one around cultural expression and one about positively engaging with minority communities. So hopefully that's answered all of your questions as best I can. Is that your proposal for an amendment?
So we're going to deal with Councillor Rowan's proposal initially, and then depending on the result of that, whether we deal with your proposal. Can you turn your microphone on, Councillor Rowan?
At the Community Good Relations meeting, that the issue about the pay was discussed, and we actually said that day that we would change that to Ullans, U-L-L-A-N-S, so as part of the language and cultural expression of that community. And anybody can get involved in that. You don't have to be, you could be anybody to do that. So that wouldn't be an issue for me, the pay aspect of my colleagues here.
We'll deal with the first
proposal.
Okay. So, Councillor Rowan, your proposal is to defer this.
To defer it for the ability for all councillors to be part of the discussion process and to actually see where we come to the conclusion that it was 10,000 for PUL community and £2,500 for the BME communities. and actually within that there to give us the space to go out and speak with the ME communities to see exactly what their needs and requirements are, so that we can actually put a figure that is based on that there, rather than just plucking it out of the air and throwing it in there to try and balance the argument.
Is that a special council meeting you're asking for then, with where all councillors?
I think it goes back to the earlier discussion when Councillor Barry O'Murray says in relation to how the Irish language progressed, I think it needs to at least follow a similar path to that one.
No, it's only when you said all councillors. Okay. So it's second by Councillor. So all in favour of Councillor Ryan's proposal? Those against? And any abstentions? One abstention. Okay, so the proposal fails.
Okay.
And so I would deal with the Councillor Enright's
proposal.
Proposed amendment.
You need it.
Councillor Henry. Have you got your microphone on?
Yes, I'm proposing that we don't imply that Protestant is the same as Unionist and Loyalist. I think it's a mistake and it's against council policy. I think it's quite sufficient to say Unionist and Loyalist.
Do we have a seconder for that?
No.
Sorry, Councillor McMurray. Did you second that? Okay, he'll second that. Okay, can we put that amendment to vote then, please? Those four. Sorry, Chair, could just, before you put it to vote, could just ask for the legality of that, because the PUL community is recognised community, and is that not in contravention of it to actually to dilute that?
It's a terminology, it's not a recognised position.
It's in the, sorry, well, I suppose it's in the lexicon of the council's community relations.
But
it's actually, isn't it?
It's a catch-all phrase that BME doesn't say, but Councillor Enright said we changed it from Protestant to Unionist, then it's a UUP then group.
Okay, so sure. I have a proposal there.
Just Councillor Enright mentions about the council's policy. What policy is he referring to?
To answer that, 4 years ago we did have a motion on this, and we did decide that religious affiliation was nothing to do with national affiliation, and council policy with regard to doing surveys, etc., should not assume that religion was the same as nationality.
Chairman, we have a good relations action plan. We have no council policy. We continue the development of a programme of work with the Protestant Unionist, Loyalist, PUL community in the district. So it actually that's what we recommend. So that's the position we have. That's the council position.
Sure. Okay, so we can take a vote now, please.
Chair, can I ask a question or pass a comment? I pay very much attention to what Councillor Enright has to say. In that case, Councillor Enright, you're going to have to pulp tons and tons of forms. Because whenever you fill in an application, on one side of the form, say, you're a member of the people, the Protestant community, or you're a member of the Catholic community, or you're white, you're an Irish traveller, or else you're other ethnic. You may as well, if at that rate of going, if you're not satisfied, I know exactly where you come from. You have your views on. And the thing is, whenever you're asking a question, the form, you may as well pulp tons and tons of paper, because far too loads of it are printed with Protestant ones. They ask you what section of the community you belong to. You know, the fact is, I know where you're coming from, but in that case, you're going to have to pulp loads of forms.
Thank you.
To answer that, Chairperson, if you look at what other councils are doing, other councils have a separate question for religion as they have for nationality. If you look at the colleges, that's what they're doing. The two things have been treated separately.
Right. Okay. So those in favour of Councillor Enright's proposal? Two.
Against.
Those against?
One, two, three, four,
Please put your hands on a cat. One, two, three, four. You're not counting, I think. 18, yeah.
Okay. Abstentions?
Fifteen. And then stand motion, Chairman.
Okay, the responsive motion to the recommendation is to
it's agreed to allocate the $12,500 business rates process for minority communities financial assistance scheme for projects and initiatives taking place during the period 1st of April 2019 to 31st of March 2020. The breakdown of minority financial scheme of assistance will be £10,000 for the PLU community, £2,500 for the BME community.
So it's the recommendation there on it.
Sorry, Chairman, the recommendation SPR 168/2018. So if we can just put proposed to Councillor Reilly, seconded by Councillor Hanna. Everyone in agreement?
No, he knows not.
We need to vote. We'll do a vote. Yeah. Show a hand again for agreement, please.
Just make it one.
No.
Against.
Okay. Abstentions?
Any abstentions?
No.
No.
Okay, so motion is carried.
Councillor Carr.
Yeah, Chair, it's just a small mistake on page 5 where officers were asked to investigate the footbridge at Magellan River. It's actually the Moygannon River.
Moygannon River?
M-O.
Yeah, the top of page, yeah.
Moygannon.
Okay. Councillor McAteer, have you forgotten what you wanted to comment about?
They're
on committee. Okay, so we'd like to do an update on item SPR 1767-2018. And we need to go into committee, so we can get a proposal to go into committee. Councillor Hanna.
Councillor
Savage. So we're going to ask members of the public to please leave the room.
Ready to go?
Yeah? Really?
Yeah?
Okay.
What's up tonight?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so for the purposes of the tape, whilst in closed session, it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Dorn, seconded by Councillor Savage, that the Council agrees to ratify the December 2018 SPNR Committee Agenda Item 14, Minute Reference SPNR 1772018, subject to the wording relating to the terms of release being finalised between the parties to ensure the best interests of Council are served.
Okay, so can I get a proposer and a seconder for all the other items in the SPNR that haven't been discussed? Councillor Sharvin, Councillor Savage, everybody in agreement? Yeah, okay. So we'll now move on to the minutes, item 8, which is the minutes of the Active Healthy Communities Committee held on the 17th of December. For accuracy, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. The proposer.
For accuracy.
Proposer. Councillor Loughran, no, Councillor Sharvin. Matters arising, Councillor Rowan.
Yeah, Chair, it's just a question in relation to one of the reports and it's to do with the tennis bubble in Uri. And as everybody will be aware, there's quite a lot of media interest in it over the last week or so. And within that report, it had suggested that making the point quite clearly that the councillors were misled with information that was provided at that meeting to do with letters of offer, which we subsequently found out was not in place.
and just could I have a response from senior management on that, please?
Yes, Councillor. There was a report brought to the Active and Healthy Committee on the 19th of November, which stated in it that funding has now been offered by your school, your club, Department of Communities, to the value of £90,000. That was an offer that had been made verbally at the time that the report was written. It is correct to say that no formal letter of offer had yet issued, and in fact has yet issued. Our head of outdoor leisure spoke this morning to both the Education Authority and the Department for Communities. Both are still advising verbally that the funding is offered to this council, and we are awaiting and actively pursuing a formal letter of offer from Sport NI, but as of the commencement of this meeting, that still had not come through. But you'll appreciate that the letter of offer and all of the works, there is quite a short time frame on getting these works completed. The department are stipulating that works are being completed by the end of March, so officers are working under that verbal assurance pending the formal letter of offer arriving with us. So we will update the Active and Healthy Community and keep council updated as when we receive that.
Thank you, Dorina. Any other matters arising?
Come back in.
Sorry, go ahead. Thanks.
Yeah. No, listen, I think the lesson that needs to be learned from this, Dorina, is the fact that information was provided to councillors on that particular night that was factually incorrect. There was no letter of offer, and I think that if one thing the news reports on it or the media reports on it makes councillors look foolish, actually. And I think it has to be acknowledged by senior management that when officers are bringing reports to councillors in future, that is never the case again. Thank you.
I'll take that point on board, Councillor. Thank you.
Councillor McIntyre. Yeah, and again on the same issue as well. I mean, I made an inquiry as to why I saw a plan application for our ladies. I always understood the bubble tennis bubble was to be on the site of the old Warren Point Road tennis courts, and the information I got back was that the folks who run the tennis club there foreseen a problem with planning. But I mean, can anybody correct the allegation in the newspaper that the people, the tennis club representatives, are denying this? Or was the information that I got packed with? Well, it's been raised. Speculation.
It's on the action sheet.
Sorry, who gave you the advice on the planning permission, Councillor?
Pardon? I noticed an application on the monthly list for planning. So that's why I raised it, because my understanding was there was a tennis bubble was to be erected in the old Warren Point Road tennis courts. So I was surprised when I saw that it was going to up the Armour Road at Our Ladies. That's why I raised it.
I'll have to come back to you on that.
Okay, you'll need to revert to you on that, Councillor McIntyre. Okay, anyone else? Okay, we'll move on to item 9 then, to minutes of the RTS, Regulatory and Technical Services Committee, held on the 18th of December 2018. Again, for accuracy, with page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and 8. The proposer, Councillor Kern, seconded by Councillor Andrews. Any matters arising?
Councillor
McIntyre.
On the fly tipping, page 4, cost of fly tipping, and as I said, I apologise for not
was able to meet, make today's meeting on the recycling centres. But it is alluded to in the report in a way, maybe the causes of it. But I was looking at the costs, and the fly tipping's costing this council £8,000 a month, approximately, and as a mop-up exercise. And, you know, the people I know in the area I represent are asking me, you know, how can we stop it? Can we stop fly tipping? What do we do? What is actually, are there serious other causes? Are council actions or council rules and regulations actually exacerbating the problem? You know, I have evidence that just over a mile away from, for example, the Milltown Centre, you know, people are dumping there. So it's beyond me as to why they're doing this. And people have asked me the questions, are people being turned away, or what is the problem here? You know, when I see something like that, and we have lorries going out following phone calls, you know, from myself and other councillors, I'm sure, to go pick up this, you know, it's a serious issue. So I'm going to ask, you know, can we monitor, you know, the areas that are the favourites of the fly tippers? Can we put in cameras? Because these are the questions that people are asking me. Can we put in undercover cameras there? Are we allowed to do that? Are we anticipating doing that? Are those areas I'm calling that are predominantly being used all the time, are we going to deal with them in some form or other by putting some sort of warning notices up or monitoring in some form or other? Because I saw that figure today and that report of the 18th of December. It's unbelievable. You know, maybe £100,000 a year picking up rubbish after people, you know. So people are asking me for answers, and so I would like some sort of information on it. Thank you.
Can I roll into it? Yes, Chair, I can agree with the Council's frustrations. I think I said at a previous meeting that...
A better order, Councillor Slade.
...that we're working with NIEA, and there's going to be a revised fly tipping protocol issued for councils, which will give councils additional powers. That's still in draft, as I understand, but as soon as that makes its way to the council, it will be reconsidered at committee, and hopefully the council can then take further action and will have greater powers against those who fly tip. So it is a work in progress. My understanding is that is possible. Obviously, there's a cost associated with that, and there are also GDPR implications. So, yes, it can be done, is the short answer. Maybe it's something we take back through committee, Councillor, in terms of the protocol and where we should be addressing these hotspots and the cost as well. So.
Councillor Casey.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is around the launch of the dog food strategy. As chair of that particular committee, where that whole debate was discussed in great detail and decided to launch a new campaign, and someone from that department contacted me to say that there would be a photocall at the Newry Leisure Centre on a certain date. And it just happened on the morning, because I hadn't received any further contact over a week or a fortnight, I contacted Liam Binford was, and I told him, I asked him what time's that protocol for at the leisure centre. He says, I'm sorry, Councillor, yeah, it's been changed to Newcastle. I was the first I heard of it. I was like actually barking mad when I heard that, sure, quite honestly.
I missed you, Charlie.
Well, I thought I was ably deputized by my colleague anyway, John, behind me. He filled in for me. But I was really annoyed, Chair, at that. I didn't give any warning about it. I was actually looking forward to it because I'm really, really in against that campaign of dog fouling on pavements and roads. So just had to get that out, Chair. It's been annoying me all over Christmas.
Well, sorry for that, sorry.
Good boy, Charlie.
And any other matters arising?
We don't hear to your dog, don't you?
No. Right, we'll move on to the next item.
Sherman.
Sherman,
it was on the issue of illegal dumping, as Councillor has pointed out there.
But Councillor
Councillor McAteer, but the Kilkeel Fishing Club, Angling Club, have cameras along the length of the river now that are motion activated, that have infrared sights, and they're not expensive. But you can use these in a court of law to show somebody was poaching or whatever. So I can't understand why we can't do similar in areas like the bottom of the Slate Mill Road. And our staff were out there at my request recently. They've done a brilliant job. But what does it cost? You know, surely the cost in overtime and man hours or whatever would be mitigated by the use of electronic devices to catch the people. Because if you're not doing anything wrong, you're not going to be worried about being caught.
I'm sure you would have noticed, Councillor O'Reilly, when those cameras along the river, there's signs up to tell you they're there. So we would have to put signs up to say we're recording images at that location.
Well, so
which will prevent people then from, they'll move on to somewhere else and dump it.
Well, then we move, we follow the pack, so long as you're trying to do something to prevent it.
Oh. Thank you, Councillor O'Reilly. Did you want to make any comment on that one?
I don't disagree with Councillor's comments. It is a scourge and it's a problem that we have to try and tackle. And again, we'll take it through committee to see how we move it forward.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Riley, will you turn the light off, please?
All right, Chairman.
Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, sometimes you might find that those who are doing the fly tipping are doing it at a farmer's land. Do you know whether that be up a lane or in a gateway or whatever? I'm not really sure how legal it would be or how you would work with them having the farmers agreeing to cameras at that end. Huh? Okay, well, speaking as a farmer, there would be an issue with that as well, which wouldn't be necessary because that's actually an infringement then of their privacy as well as anything else. So whilst it might sound like a fantastic idea and doing all of that, yes, there is certain areas, but you do have to then take into a rent, and you know obviously the farmer is not going to let you do that for free. So we would have to have the implications there as well. So just point that out.
Okay, the next item then is item 10. Oh, sorry, Councillor Savage.
Yeah, Chair, just a question for Rowan. There was an ongoing problem there over Christmas in relation to fly dumping at the boxing club in Derrybeg. I was just wondering with the money to get that cleared. It's been an ongoing problem there on and off over the last sort of year or so. But there was quite a bit of debris left over the holiday period, and the members of the club approached me to see if we could get it shifted. I was just wondering if there'd be any movement on it.
I've seen the communication coming through, and I know officers were looking into it. Can Savage come back to you tomorrow on that?
That's great. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, is that everything now? Oh, sorry, Councillor Hannah.
Just, Chair, on the issue you raised at the workshop earlier on, I would really like to address it to all the councillors there about the problems with bin collections over the Christmas period. The information was not distracted out to everybody, so it wasn't in a serious confusion. Would you like to just explain to everybody why there was such a confusion?
It did affect a number of our customers in relation to the communication on the day of collection. Now, there was collections, it was just communicating the day, so we did use our own media and local press. Unfortunately, the message didn't get out to everyone. The officers worked hard to try and correct the problem. So it's something that we're going to take a paper through to January to see in terms of how we can improve going forward.
Yeah. Credit to the officers that were on duty, because for them last week there they had reasonably caught up, so they had.
Thanks,
Chair. Sure, just on that issue, I brought that up at the council before Christmas. I was told that everybody's online now, they'll be able to see it, there was no need. There's nothing beats the sticker on the top of the bin lid. It's clear and concise, and nobody can say we didn't know what bin to put out.
Thanks, Councillor.
The cost can't be mastered on it.
Councillor Walker. Just in relation to bin collections, are all the calendars out yet? Because I have received a number of complaints that they haven't received their calendars. And surely, you know, if the calendars are out in time, you know, people will know what their bin day is, providing everyone gets a calendar. So, you know, if you know, and that's a killer too, that a lot of these calendars aren't out.
Chairperson, since we discontinued calendars last year, I've been deluged by people who don't have access to the internet wanting to know when their bin collection times are. I really think we need to reconsider that decision.
Okay, so we've already agreed that we're going to the officer is going to bring a paper to committee, so that will address those issues. Okay, we'll move on to item 10 then, which is the Northern Ireland Housing Conference 2019. It's on the 13th of March in Titanic, Belfast. As we're running our own housing conference, there's no need then for any of us. Everybody happy enough with that? Yeah. Okay, item number 11. Replies in relation to the council motion on the curriculum support programme. So we have a letter from Anna and Oma District Council in support. Okay, this is for noting. Then correspondence regarding the motion on the funding crisis in community pharmacy received from Derry and Strabane.
Councillor Andrews. Thanks very much, Chair. First of all, I welcome the letter. Each and every one of us at one stage do avail of the pharmacy in the castle. In fact, I'm going for a cough bottle in the morning, the way things are going. But they provide such an invaluable service. And with the underfunding of at least £20 million per annum, it's quite scary and puts such a vital service under pressure and threat. You know, when you think that the total cost of the community pharmacy service is in the region of £130 to £136 million annually, you know, as I say, despite all this, as I said, they're operating under £20 million underfunding. I would like to make a proposal, with your indulgence, Chairperson, that we write to Derry and Strabane District Council and inform them of our support, and also that we will be writing to the Secretary of State and the Permanent Secretary at the Department of Health in relation to supporting our community pharmacy network. So I'd like to make that a proposal.
Okay, do you have a seconder for that?
Chair, I'd like to second that, but also like to say that the community pharmacists are a vital part of the health service that we have, very primary care at times. Recently, if anyone's been following the situation, between November and December, they've had their ups and the downs, with money being made available in November, only to find out in December that they'd have to cut certain services with the dispensing of medication. So I think, in summation, basically, vital service, it's underfunded like most services in the health service, and it would be about time that someone gets back the work instalment to try and fix it.
Okay, thanks. Everybody in agreement with that? Yeah, okay. And move on to then item 13, National Association of Councillors Conference in Leeds.
Right, again, Chairman, just the costs are there for members, it's £350 plus that, £60 plus that for accommodation. Flights on top of that, Chairman.
Okay. Chair, can I just ask, are any offers going to get going to that? Because, I mean, it is something that's very much in the news at the moment, right around our own coasts, right around the whole area. Plastic is absolute disaster, and I do think that it's the public are looking out for, you know, they're on a crest of a wave, excuse the pun, in terms of, you know, plastics out at sea and, you know, so I do think it's a big issue that needs to be dealt with and addressed. And I'm sure we have got an input into it as much as anyone else. Not saying I want to go to it, certainly, but just wondering, was the officers and we already delegated to go to that?
No. Chairman, I got Mullen to take Roman to take a look at and see the merits of it. I know there's a number of other seminars on this. So
I know, yeah, make it something closer to home. I know. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Chair?
No.
Councillor
Andrews?
In relation to the NAC, if any members of the NAC I would like to express an interest to go and to put the names forward and just make that recommendation. I would like to propose that.
Chairman, we need numbers because we need calls on this. We need to tie down, Chairman. No. Okay, we're starting up.
Councillor Stokes?
Yeah, sure. I missed item 10 there. Can I propose that Councillor Stavish go to that housing conference given that his interest in the area?
We agreed that we weren't saying, somebody said we're running our own housing conference.
Yeah. We'll have to revisit that, I think.
No.
We need to deal with this. Henry's proposed, then Hannah's proposed to Henry. And then this is
something to deal with.
Glenn will propose to Henry for this NEC. Right, so, is seconder for that, Chairman?
Yeah.
You need, got a proposer. You've got a proposer.
He can't go.
So, he can't. So, no proposals.
I understand. Sorry.
Sorry, Councillor Curran, just one second. Councillor Taylor.
Sure, I understand that Councillor Burgess is away for a number of days at the minute, but I understand he's due to attend the conference. Where does things stand with that? I don't know, was it through, is he a member of the executive of the NAC, or?
It's different, this is a Councillor still at 10. Yes,
he's
right at 10, it is, yeah,
he's right at 10.
So, no proposals then?
No, sorry about
that. Councillor Taylor, you turn the light off, please.
I was just going to propose Councillor Andrews because he's on the NEC and he attends many meetings of us. So I propose that he go to this one here and brings back a report to us.
Okay, can we get a seconder for that? Second, Councillor Casey.
Everybody in agreement?
Is it Councillor Andrews to attend the National Association of Councillors Conference on Recycling Reduction and bring a report back?
Yeah, but on that, can we make sure that he's actually going to go and actually be there? Because the way the flights were organised from the last time, he was there for one night. He was there just in the door and out the door. So can we do it that it's actually he's there for the conference and can attend the full conference as opposed to just a section, please?
Okay, thank you very much. We'll move on to item 14 with the notice of motion regarding the Strangford Ferry, received from Councillor Enright. Councillor Enright, would you like to move your motion?
Thanks, Mr. Chairperson. Councillor Joe Boyle over in Ards has already had a similar motion passed in Moffdown at Ards Council. Reading the motion, that this Council agrees to write to Katrina Godric, Permanent Secretary to the Department of Infrastructure, requesting a meeting to discuss the current timetable and operational concerns of the Strangford Ferry service with a view to addressing the increasing and noticeable needs and requirements of those who availed of this service, in particular the need for an early morning sailing from Porter Ferry for commuters, and secondly the need for the ferry service on the Strangford side to use its waiting area as part of its standard operations, as it does in Porter Ferry, to avoid regular blockading of Strangford Village, its crossroads, bus services, businesses and residents. Chairperson, a large number of people in Ards commute to mainland County Down for work. Currently many people from Porter Ferry and Ards have to leave their cars in Strangford at night and travel as foot passengers across to Porter Ferry in order to be sure of getting to work in the morning. This leaves them without their cars during the week in Ards. This is not a new issue. It's been ongoing for a number of years and affects many people that we work with day and daily. Many here will remember Down Council's ex-chief executive, John Dummigan, who had to keep two cars, one on each side, to be sure of getting to work. Joseph Burt from Building Control was likewise affected. Over here on the Strangford side, the ferry service says it can save on personnel costs by not using their queuing area on the Strangford side in the same manner as they do as part of normal operations on the Porter Ferry side. This results in regular blockages of the village, and we have letters from TransLink and local businesses complaining about these regular village shutdowns extending 1 kilometre out past the 30-mile-an-hour sign and blocking the crossroads to Caliph and Ballyhornan. Top management in the ferry service maintain that roads congestion is not our job, and they refer elected representatives to the road service. However, both these departments are under the Department of Infrastructure, hence the need to meet with the Permanent Secretary and see if heads can be banged together and any budgetary issues resolved. Councillor Joe Boyle and I have listed a number of other lesser issues for the attention of our respective chief executives on this matter. Other obvious issues like when the ferry is full and there's a queue on the other side that the ferry should actually leave. At the moment now, policy is unclear. Some crews will leave with the full ferry and pick up on the other side. Other crews will wait until the half hour. We need these sorts of sensible issues resolved because it's causing a lot of disruption over on the eastern side of the council area and on ours. Thank you.
Councillor Sharvin.
Thank you, Chair. And
I am
seconding the motion, although just a slight amendment I'm hoping that Councillor Enright will accept. It's just the wording, as he states, my SDLP colleague, Councillor Joe Boyd, has a similar motion already passed in North Down Ards. We were worried that this council agrees to write to Katrina Godfrey, Permanent Secretary of the Department for Infrastructure, supporting North Down Ards Council's request to meet to discuss. You know, there's no point requesting another meeting if there's already been a request, so that we would support and be part of that delegation to go and meet the Permanent Secretary to get these addresses. And as Councillor Enright states, there has been many occasions where Strangford has been dramatically impacted because of the amount of traffic that is backed out of the village itself. And there is a perfectly good traffic flow system already in place that isn't being utilised both by drivers who should be responsible, there is a sign that states it, but also that as part of this meeting that we ask the Permanent Secretary to ensure that there is enough resource as part of the ferry crew to accommodate that flow and the demand to ensure that the residents of Strangford are not impacted. So happy to second, as long as Councillor Enright's happy with the wording.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. The Chief Executive would like to give us an update. Just, I have Councillor Enright raised this issue with me about a couple of months ago, and I've certainly been liaising with the Chief Executive in North Down and Ards on the same issue. We have currently got a meeting penciled in for a meeting with Simon Richardson, following up really from the response Katrina Godfrey sent to them. So what we can do is we can, I'm happy to feel the issue, just so you're not putting a letter in sort of asking for a meeting, that the action from North Down and Ards, Seth and Stephen are working to have that meeting. We've a meeting penciled in, or not penciled in, actually agreed for the 29th of January to raise a number of these, to pick up a number of these issues. So we can certainly write in support of North Down and Ards and await further impact in terms of what can be done in terms of bringing it forward. If members are happy enough for that, just while you may pass a motion here, I don't know that the work is currently work ongoing.
Okay, thanks for that update, Liam. Councillor Walker.
Sure, thank you very much. And just to say that our party will also be supporting the motion. I know a couple of people that work on the Port of Ferry side, and the job they do, they finish later at night sometimes, and they're having to drive right round the peninsula. So they do to Killay, which is a costly burden on them at the end of each month. And that, so I would also welcome it. But, you know, just thinking back to 30 years ago, and my memory serves me right, he was a former SDLP councillor, then turned independent, a councillor, McMullen, from Port of Ferry. I remember he championed, and I think it's maybe further down the line here, something that should be looked at, a bridge across from Port of Ferry to Strangford. People at the time laughed at it. But, you know, in this century, you know, having a look at that, you know, and seeing that in a number of years' time, if money could be found for something like that, just think, you know, there'd be no more hassle. So there wasn't. But as I say, we support the motion.
Councillor Riley.
Chairman, I would just like to respectfully point out, I have no problem with the motion, but the Greencastle Green Ore Ferry is run privately, and they are the most efficient service I've seen yet. And maybe it would be an idea to look at privatising that ferry service. A guy like David O'Sullivan and that Shannon Ferry Group, Fraser Ferries, they would have that there, that finely tuned, everyone would be happy. But it's just the government isn't good at providing commercial services.
Thank you, Councillor Rennie. Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. Just to maybe ask for another slight amendment that Councillor Enright would include, that the relevant MPs be included in that delegation. to meet the permanent secretary. Just to say, Sinn Féin supports the motion. There is huge traffic issues, particularly during peak season, causing difficulties for local residents. I know my colleague Naomi Bailey highlighted this on a number of occasions, actually done pop-up surveys discussing the issues with the local users. So we will be supporting the motion.
Amendments. If we need to propose an amendment on that, is that an amendment you're proposing? Is he agreed? He agrees.
That's agreed. Okay, yes.
Councillor Jim McCauley.
Councillor McCauley.
That's the proposal.
Yeah, no, just to say that our party will be happy enough to support the original motion here. It is a vital service and needs to be run on at full advantage for the users, so we're happy enough to
support that.
Councillor Trainer? Sure, maybe an amendment if the proposal will take it. That if we're also going for the MPs, we may as well invite the local MLAs. You know, I thought this was supposed to be a council delegation that deals with an issue through council matters, but if we're going for our elected representatives, we may as well go for the three branches. Solution. So if Councillor Enright would accept it, I'd propose that we also invite our MLAs.
Is there going to be a meeting at all?
So we can worry about that. We can worry about that if we decide there's going to be a meeting at all.
He has accepted the amendment.
He's accepted the amendment.
Jarrett, we need the part to a vote. We need the part to a vote.
Do we need to put this amendment to a vote?
Yeah.
No, don't.
Is it? He's agreed.
Or
need. He's agreed.
Okay. So is that everyone? Okay.
So is everybody on MLAs?
MPs on MLAs? Or just no? Only accept the MLA.
He didn't accept the MLAs.
What did you accept?
Cadogan. Well, then you need to accept that. You need to accept that.
He will accept them. Right. Do you want to sum up, Cadogan? Briefly.
Thanks, Chairperson.
MLA
this one's not grinding on for a number of years. It's become particularly severe on the Strangford side. It can no longer be ignored. It's clearly all these groups of departments work under the one Department of Infrastructure, and it's just not acceptable to say that road congestion is not our problem. And clearly people have to get to work, and they need their cars at night time on the Porta Ferry side. Thank you.
Okay. Everybody in agreement with the motion? Yeah. Okay. So that's passed with a notice motion on paediatric pathologists received from Councillor Clark and Mulgrew.
Yeah. I just read it in. Councillor notes that the Belfast Trust are struggling to recruit a paediatric pathologist. This council urges the Permanent Secretary of Health to approach this issue on an all-Ireland basis. This would reduce the already enormous burden from parents suffering from bereavement. The process of carrying out a post-mortem should be done sensitively and swiftly, so a family can get the answers they need from professionals. By using services in England, this would prolong this. This council calls on the Permanent Secretary of Health to engage urgently with the Department of Health in the South to find an all-Ireland solution to this sensitive issue. Since tabling the motion, I welcome the initial discussions between the North and the South health officials to explore the feasibility of an all-Ireland paediatric pathology services. But I want to get this council support for this approach. From January the 3rd, paediatric pathology services will be provided by Alderhay Children's NHS Foundation Trust in Liverpool. Efforts to recruit a replacement paediatric pathologist for north of Ireland have not yet been successful, with instant postmortems now moving to England as a result. Recruitment drives, both nationally and internationally, have repeatedly been carried out to try to fill the vacant position without success. The motion seeks an all-Ireland cross-border paediatric pathology service, which is a more acceptable alternative for people affected in the north rather than them having to travel to England in the very difficult circumstances. The implications for families currently means the bodies of any babies or children requiring a hospital post-mortem will have to be transported to England. The Health and Social Care Board and Public Health Agency have already acknowledged that the arrangement is far from ideal and it could compound the distress for grieving families. The proposal that families will need to send their child's remains away for a week will mean more stress and suffering for families at a time when their world has been devastated. The service effect includes hospital postmortems on stillborn babies, late miscarriages, babies who only survive a short time after birth, and more rarely postmortem examinations of older babies and children. The service aims to provide answers to families as to why a baby or child may have died, some of which may have implications for future family planning. The motion is requesting that this council supports future paediatric pathology services are based on the island of Ireland to help reduce the distress for grieving families.
Yes, I am absolutely happy to second the motion. As a parent, I couldn't imagine being in a more horrific situation, and at a time like that I think it's very important that people have the support of their loved ones close at hand, and I'm sure that anybody sitting in this room would rather make a journey, should it have to be to Dublin or Sligo or Mayo and vice versa, wherever we can get an all-Ireland pathologist to carry out this vital role in a sensitive way is vitally important, and I hope it will be supported by everyone.
Thank you. Councillor Trainer.
Chairperson, our part of the SDLP will be fully supporting this motion. For me personally, I'd like to thank and commend Councillors Clark and Mulgrew because it's quite a personal issue for my family. My mother, who had actually wrote a letter into the Down Recorder before Christmas in relation to this issue, had actually lost her daughter to a congenital heart disease, and as she had put it to me, the thought of having to travel to England would have wrecked her emotionally. The fact that she had lost her daughter had wrecked her emotionally. And January is my sister's birthday. Her birthday's coming up now next week. And every year, it hits our family quite hard. And the thought of the pressures that any parent would have to go through to bring their child away across the water, it's unbearable. You couldn't think about it. We have got an all-island strategy with regards congenital heart diseases, and there's no reason why it couldn't be explored for this as well. It should have been explored. It shouldn't have came to going across the water. It should have been explored. An all-island approach should have been explored first to keep people from having to travel on a plane with their loved ones like cargo. And that's very cool to say that. But that's how it was told. That's how my mum felt when she read the stories about this being taken away. So it's very personal for people. It's very emotional. It's a very, very, very sensitive issue. And as I say, we'd be fully supporting this. And I do, from the bottom of my heart, thank my colleagues for bringing this motion tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Trainer. Councillor Craig.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, I certainly support the sentiments of the motion. I realise it's a very sensitive issue. And I suppose we all have to feel deeply for parents who are plunged into deep sorrow with a situation such as the death of a child. And certainly the objective is to get reports back to parents as quickly as possible. I suppose I would just maybe like to ask the proposer of the motion. I suppose where I'm coming from is I feel that the reinstatement of a paediatric pathologist in Belfast is of utmost importance too, and if you would take that on, that would be a joint approach with both the UK and the ROI and seeking a solution that we don't lose sight of the fact that we need a local pathologist as well to deal with these issues, if the proposal would be happy just to accept that.
Okay, do we have any amendments?
I would like to second the amendment that has been proposed by Councillor Craig. It's clear that it is a very emotive and very sensitive issue, and you know, we've seen over the recent weeks, you know, various, you know, articles and various items in the news regarding the issue and the impact that it has had on families and will have. But it's clear, though, that there has been a lack of strategic planning on this issue, you know, over the long term, and in some ways it is a political failure as well, because we don't have the devolved government here for over 2 years. There's been no direction in that regard, but and that's unfortunate. But I do believe we should be looking wider. And my preference would be to see, you know, Northern Ireland, you know, appointment, and we should obviously work with, you know, authorities in ROI and the UK to find a solution to this. But the motion itself, you know, said it's worthy in many ways, but I just feel we should be also looking at, you know, an NI solution with cooperation with ROI and UK. So I'm happy to support the amendment proposed by Councillor Craig.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor McMurray.
Happy to support the motion. The very obvious sensitivities which have been highlighted are worth bearing in mind. And just to sort of emphasise that you really that this should be maybe an interim measure rather than a permanent measure, in the sense that a paediatric pathologist being based permanently in Northern Ireland is of utmost importance. And as well as just to ensure as well that of equal importance is the support and the counselling which parents may require in such a traumatic time, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McMurray. Councillor Riley.
Chairman, I am a bit confused about this issue because there already is an organisation called BRIPA, which is the British and Irish Paediatric Pathology Association, and they do antemortem, postmortem investigations into juvenile deaths and paediatric deaths. And apparently they are prepared to travel within anywhere within the British Isles, be it Dublin, Belfast, Glasgow or London. So why can the council not write to BRIPA and ask them what is the current situation with them if there is the need? You know, if a pathologist based in Liverpool, a flight from there to Belfast is half an hour, 50 quid return in many instances. You know, a drive from Dublin, a couple of hours up the road, and you could do it without having to bring the baby and put the parents through all that stress. So given that there is this overarching organisation within the British Isles that covers all areas, surely we should write to them and ask them for guidance and why the Trust hasn't been able to fill the position. Because it just doesn't seem to add up, Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Rennick. Sorry, Councillor Tinley.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I support the sentiments of the motion also, Chairman. I suppose the one concern I would have, and I hope Councillor Clark can consider this, maybe in a summing up, the Permanent Secretary cannot be allowed to use the excuse of no executive to stonewall this and kick it in the touch, because it's an absolute certainty that this provision and this need is going to become apparent right away and for many people throughout the next 12 months, and we're no saying a storm is coming back. So I would just like an assurance that the wording of the letter will be strong enough that they'd be left in no doubt that there's urgent action expected here. Because the I can think of nothing more devastating other than the death of a child and a family having to wait then. Because we, as a, you know, Irish people, Chairman, and their reaction to death and dealing with the deceased is fairly unique. We're a very, very caring nation. And I would just hope that the lack of an executive chair wouldn't be used as an excuse to stonewall us. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tilley. Councillor O'Hara.
I just want to sort of say that, yes, I welcome, I obviously agree with the proposal that Willie has put forward in the motion, but historically there always has been a wait and a lengthy wait issue. Is that whenever it's come to the postmortem of paediatrics? I myself, 8 years ago, was in that situation, and probably under the advice of midwives and doctors, we were advised that it was going to take a week for a postmortem to take place, and not put off, but sort of the doctors were very helpful and they were able to ascertain as to why the child had passed away at 6 months into my pregnancy. So I think that we have to look here at a whole island approach, and even if in the interim, if, you know, we were used, like, yes, we have an all-island pathologist, but we have, if in time and we do get one here in Belfast, that person will need holidays, that person will need a break. We have to look at it as a whole cross-border element, that we're never caught short at this again, and that measures are put in place that families don't have an undue lengthy wait. We would be very optimistic to think that you would have a post-mortem take place within a week's notice, if that was going across the water. So I think it is something that we need to look into very closely.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Harris. That's everyone.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah. I'd like to thank everybody for supporting the motion in this general context. Some people looking for amendments, slight amendments to it in regards to Belfast being considered, continue to be considered, and I think obviously in the back of what Councillor Harris said as well, that it will be part of the moving forward. If we look at healthcare right across the aisle, there's been great steps forward in regards to even cancer services up in the northwest. And it was kind of, I remember the Minister of Wales was the health minister at the time who approved that, and that improved the quality of people's lives and getting treatment. I think this is what this is about, improving the services for the public is what we're about. And as Councillor Harris says, there is a greater need for cooperation in health and indeed all other aspects of life. We're a small island. There is issues about recruitment. There's issues about probably the number of cases that the consultant would have to deal with. Maybe on an all-island basis then, you know, there's greater flexibility in regards to that. But I'm happy enough to take that on board. Councillor Taylor talked about in regards to ministerial decision. I don't think it is a ministerial decision. I think it's an operational matter. And I think it's within the gift of the Permanent Secretary to move on that. But in regards to Councillor Traynor, I emphasise with Councillor Traynor's testimony. And indeed, his mother, I know his mother really well, served in council with Al. But that's the real life experience we heard from Councillor Hall as well. That's the experience that people are suffering, and that's what we're trying to stop.
Sorry, Councillor Clark, you didn't address Councillor Reddy's wanting to write to the inherited Dingyan motion. Okay, is everybody in agreement with the motion? Okay, folks, thank you very much for your attendance tonight.